Since June, thousands of students have held demonstrations in Iran. These pro-democracy protests reflect growing frustration with a handful of clerics who took over after Ayatollah Khomeini died in 1989. Paul Klebnikov writes about Iran's ruling clerics, or mullahs, in the current issue of Forbes magazine. He says they've used their religious positions to control much of the country's economy and become millionaires.
So as a result, you have a situation where Iran is a dictatorship, but it's not a dictatorship like Saddam Hussein's Iraq. You don't have an all-powerful individual who sits there controlling everything. The supreme leader, Ayatollah Khamenei, is relatively weak. He himself is a low-ranking cleric in traditional religious terms and beholden to various senior clerics who advise him. And he, in turn, is not able to operate in the country very effectively without the support of this sort of shadow power structure, which is both a commercial and a political and a sort of force side to it.
The clerics are the leaders of religious charities, which run various organizations and pieces of property that were nationalized or appropriated from other countries.
Yes, this is the really peculiar thing about today's Iran. In 1979, when the wealth of the wealthiest Iranian families and foreign investors was expropriated, not all of it was simply nationalized. Many of the best properties went into the portfolios of these newly formed religious charities. Theoretically, these charities, they're called bunyads. Khomeini wanted them simply to redistribute supposedly illegitimately accumulated wealth to the people. Well, they did that for about 10 years. They paid for some low-income housing and set up health clinics and so forth. But since Khomeini died, and increasingly throughout the 1990s, they've shed their social welfare responsibilities and expenditures and invested most of their money in straightforward commercial activities and growing. As a result of that, some of the biggest bunyads are now the largest conglomerates, which dominate the economy. Whatever profits they make don't go into state coffers, and the only organization that's larger than the largest bunyad is the National Iranian Oil Company, which is state-owned.
And ultimately, behind all these wealthy clerics is an old familiar figure.
That's right, Ali Akbar Hashemi Rafsanjani, who joined up with Khomeini as a young clerical student back in the 1960s. He later became president of Iran. Rafsanjani has more or less run Iran for the past 24 years. He also is the one who's most deft at manipulating this shadow network because he himself is a businessman, even though he's also a cleric. And he has put his family, members of his family, into many of the key positions in Iranian politics and in Iranian economy.
So these people demonstrating against all this, is it this they're against? Do they want to return to a purified Islamic Republic, or do they want democracy?
Oh, no. No one wants a purified Islamic Republic. I mean, the opinion polls show something like 70 to 80% of the people disagree with the idea of an Islamic state in Iran. The students who are demonstrating today, yes, first of all, they're sick of not having freedom. They're sick of being told what to wear, what to eat and drink, how to behave themselves. And when they see the corruption of the leading politicians and clerics, that's simply the final nail in the coffin as far as they're concerned.
Well, some of these people had the Shah and then Khomeini and now this.
Well, there's now quite a bit of nostalgia for the days of the Shah. It's one of these ironies. I remember an old, I think it was Arlo Guthrie back in the 60s. If you really want to ruin a cause, you just make it official. It's my impression that nowhere else in the Middle East, in the Islamic world, is the United States so popular and is the idea of an Islamic state so unpopular. Which is why I think that the days of the regime are numbered.
Paul Klebnikov is a senior editor at Forbes.